Hello and welcome everyone. My name is Polash. This is the PLNX Games podcast. It's absolutely wonderful to have each and every one of you here. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, we will take a look at Microsoft and especially their Xbox brand and why I feel this could potentially be the last time we see dedicated Xbox consoles. As I always say, sit back, relax, enjoy. This is going to be a fun one. See you on the other side. This is the PLNX Games podcast, everyone. All right, today is the 15th of February, 2022. Thank you so much again for tuning in. Today is also my elder brother's birthday. So happy birthday, bro. Thank you so much for introducing me to the world of video games. If it wasn't for you, I may not have been introduced to this world. And you probably won't be listening to this podcast right about now. So I'll probably link his Instagram handle in the show notes. Just show him some love. Tell him I sent you. And I'm sure he'll appreciate it. Happy birthday again, bro. All right, today's topic that I wanted to speak about is Microsoft. Nope, not just the Xbox brand, which is part of Microsoft. Yes, we will look at the Xbox brand as well in some time. But I want to speak about Microsoft holistically, just an approach that they have decided to go forth with. Now, over the last week or so, there was a Microsoft blog post on their official news or their official blog. I've linked that in the show notes below. Most of you might have already read that blog, or you might have seen some tweets, or you might have seen some people trying to describe it or explain it in their versions of it. I just wanted to let you know in a nutshell that, you know, the post talks about how Microsoft is approaching the upcoming legislative changes that governments across the globe are planning to make, especially in terms of app stores. Now, that word, the app store, that's key. Just hold on to that. Remember that. I'll link back to this in a little bit. Now, what the governments are trying to do here are simply trying to find appropriate ways to regulate the way big corporations. Now, when I say big, I mean the big three, especially Google with their Android Play Store, Apple with their App Store, and Microsoft with their Windows Store. The governments are trying to make some policies about these individual app stores. Now, it's a nice, well-written article which checks a lot of boxes, and you might wonder how all this might affect the world of gaming. Well, let me tell you. But before I do, a little bit of a background, because that's necessary for you to understand the entire context of this situation that we are in at the moment. So, here's how it started. The Epic Games versus Apple trial. Epic Games are the developers of this little-known game called Fortnite. If you haven't heard of Fortnite, well, welcome to the world, and yeah, it's one of the biggest games in the world. A lot of streamers play it. A lot of people watch people playing it. And it's just huge. It's a huge, massive game. But Fortnite is a free-to-play game. Now, what do I mean by a free-to-play game? Is that you don't have to pay any money to play that game. You can simply download it off whatever store you want it from digitally and just start playing it. Now, you might want to ask, how is it then that Epic makes money off of this game? How is it that they earn money? The way they earn money is by something called in-app purchases. Now, what are in-app purchases, you might ask? It's nothing but where games make certain types of content available through the application itself, through the game itself. There is a store within the game, and you just pay your money and buy the things that are made available. Let me give you a quick example. I recently saw Fortnite released, I think, something called a Bruno Mars pack or something. I'm not entirely sure. I don't play that game actively. I apologize, but yeah, something called a Bruno Mars pack. Let's call it the Bruno Mars pack. All right, now you decide that, okay, I want to play as Bruno Mars in Fortnite, so my character will look like Bruno Mars. Great. Now, for example, let's say that Bruno Mars pack costs 10 rupees, all right? Generally, how app stores work are when a customer buys anything from that store, let's say the Bruno Mars pack in this case, the customer pays 10 rupees, all right? You and I, while buying that pack, we pay 10 rupees. But Epic gets 7 out of that 10 rupees. They get 70%, and the 30% cut is of the store or is of the marketplace that you used to buy that Bruno Mars pack. Now, for example, I bought this pack on my iPad. Obviously, that 30% or that 3 rupees is going to Apple. If I bought it on the PlayStation store, then that 30% is going to Sony. If I bought it on the Xbox store, then that 30% is going to Microsoft. So on and so forth. I'm sure you get the picture. This is how it's been going on for several years now. App stores take a 30% cut. That's just the industry standard. That's the norm. And in exchange of that 30%, they let developers put their games on the store, first of all, and take care of the entire payment processing bit. I mean, Epic does not have to worry whether the customer has a credit card or a debit card or who processes the transaction, all the financial aspects. All of that is Apple's or Microsoft's or Google's or Sony's headache. All right, so that's how the App Store functionality works. Now, this is something that is a norm. Like I said, it's just been happening. What happened is Epic decided to find a way around this. This happened around a little more than a year ago or so. Well, Epic decided that they wanted to tell consumers that, hey, why don't you use this website to make a payment instead of making the payment on the Apple App Store? So basically, I went to buy the Bruno Mars pack again for that example. And instead of making the payment through the Apple App Store where my card details are already stored and everything, I was redirected to a web page. Now, when a payment is processed on a web page or a website, then the developer will get most of the funds that the customer is paying. So Epic wanted to bypass the 30% cut that Apple was taking because they thought it was a major chunk of their revenue, because the number of people with Apple devices, my gosh, that's a lot. That's a huge number. And if you count the number of purchases that people were making in-game, in Fortnite, well, that's a significant amount of money. That's for sure. All right, so that's what happened. And Apple obviously didn't like it. And they banned Epic Games entirely. And Fortnite, obviously, from the App Store. What happened was then Epic launched a lawsuit against Apple, citing the way they technically arm-twist developers into using their own store and payment options and don't allow any other options. Long story short, the matter went into court and there was a trial. And over the course of a few months, what happened was a judge gave a verdict that wasn't entirely beneficial for either party, to be honest. The judge concluded that Epic was not able to prove Apple's, and I quote, monopolistic nature of the App Store and the practices that they used. But the judge also told Apple that every developer should have the right to mention alternate modes of payment, thereby maintaining complete transparency. So it wasn't really a win for either of the parties, and it wasn't really a loss for either of the parties as well. So that verdict didn't really lead to any concluding changes. But yeah, fast forward to now, and because of this trial which started it all, The lawmakers of several countries now have decided to come up with regulations regarding app stores and their policies, whether they should charge 30% or not, and if they are, then should everything be taken care of by them, or like that judge ruled, whether app stores should give the option to developers to portray an alternate mode of payment for the end consumer. Now, on the back of this, Microsoft decided to outline their vision of the near future and detail the practices that they intend to follow, to be honest. The blog post is literally titled "Adapting Ahead of Regulation, a Principled Approach to App Stores." All right, now, they've outlined a total of 11 points across various categories, categories like quality, safety, security, privacy, accountability, fairness and transparency, and developer choice. I mean, it's mostly corporate mumbo jumbo, which all looks amazing to read on a website or on the FAQ section of a website. But all this is great for app developers, to be honest, and it truly goes to show the level of transparency that Microsoft is willing to showcase in this instance. Obviously, I say willing to showcase because it's fairly too soon to say how things will eventually materialize, but it's a good start nonetheless. Kudos to Microsoft for being so open and transparent about this. But yeah, we are yet to see how this will have real-world implications and see how well they implement the things that they've mentioned. So having said that, that's what Microsoft are doing as an organization, because obviously they are a company that makes most of their revenue through software. So they obviously have their Microsoft Store, which they are planning to basically open up a little more than it is right now. I mean, it is not very restricted like the Apple Store or maybe even the Google Play Store. But yeah, they are choosing to open it up a little bit more, if you see what I mean. On the back of all this, how does this affect gaming? Now, primarily, these laws that are being written as we speak, I believe, is primarily for app stores. Remember I told you, just keep that word in mind, app developers or in-app purchases or app stores, okay? These laws are written for app stores, not for gaming stores that PlayStation and Xbox have on their respective consoles. Now, why is it not applicable to them? The primary reason for that is because game companies or game hardware or console manufacturers, primarily Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony, the ones who make the Nintendo Switch, the Xbox Series or the Xbox One consoles, and PlayStation, Sony PlayStation, they make console hardware at a loss. Yeah, so with every time you buy a console, let's say you go outside and buy a PS5, if you can find it. Let me know where you find it. I have a few people who still haven't got it yet. I was fortunate enough to get one, but I digress. Coming back to the point, let's say you go out and buy a PlayStation 5. With whatever money you paid for it, Sony is not making a profit out of that console. That's how traditionally console businesses function. The hardware is sold at a loss initially. Sony as a company would then try to recover the cost by the games and the software that they will try to sell to you through their PlayStation Store or through the discs that you buy. And that's where Sony gets a cut each time you buy a game. So over the course of the lifetime of that console, let's say you have a PS5 for 10 years, for example. Now, over 10 years, whatever money you spend on that console, because it's a restricted space, you can't just download games on it from any source. You can just buy it either from the PlayStation Store or you buy a disc. Simple as that. Either way, Sony gets a percentage of cut as proper profits, and that's how they recover the cost. So yeah, that's your console economics 101, I guess. But yeah, keeping all of that in mind, what I feel is Microsoft is becoming, especially their Xbox brand now, they are becoming a software provider in a way. When I say software, I mean games provider. They are moving a little bit towards the publishing side of things in terms of having their games available on as many platforms as possible. Now, they obviously haven't explicitly mentioned this. They've not said it anywhere. But in an ideal world where if you listen to any Microsoft conference or any of their mission statement for Xbox, is that they want to try and make sure that everyone gets to play video games. The entire population of the world, that's what they mean by everyone. Now, that will technically only be possible if Microsoft's games were available almost everywhere, all right, on almost all platforms. But again, like I described how console business works, they can't just really do that. It's just not feasible, it's just not possible, especially with the current situations. Now, so recently, Microsoft made a huge acquisition. Now, emphasis on the word huge there, because it literally is very, very huge. They spent $68.7 billion, yeah, that's B for Bravo, $1 billion to buy a company called Activision Blizzard. All right, they are the ones who make games like Call of Duty or Candy Crush or World of Warcraft and all these huge, huge games which are immensely popular in terms of generating revenue year on year, quarter on quarter. Microsoft bought them. So a lot of people had a question on their minds. All right, now, hey, Microsoft have bought Activision. That means all of Activision's games are now exclusive to Microsoft, right? Well, turns out that is not the case. As the blog post says, and I will quote here, Brad Smith, the president and vice chair who has written this blog post, Microsoft will continue to make Call of Duty and other popular Activision Blizzard titles available on PlayStation through the term of any existing agreement with Activision. And we have committed to Sony that we will also make them available on PlayStation beyond the existing agreement and into the future so that Sony fans can continue to enjoy the games they love. We are also interested in taking similar steps to support Nintendo's successful platform. We believe this is the right thing for the industry, for gamers, and for our business. Now, that paragraph alone is something that I really feel Microsoft is doubling down on the fact that, hey, we spent so much money, we don't want to keep it to our platform. Sony, hey, you're welcome to still have Call of Duty, because let's be honest about this, guys. If I spend $68.7 billion, first of all, I wish. But yeah, if I do spend that amount, I want to recover that cost as soon as possible. And making that game exclusive to my platform is not going to help me do that. It's just not feasible. It's just not possible. So once the game is available on as many platforms as possible, that is where the real money is at. Because trust me when I say this, Call of Duty is massive. It is huge. Whether on mobile or on consoles or a PC, Call of Duty is everywhere. Now, let's say all of a sudden Xbox decides that, hey, Call of Duty is only on Xbox. I don't think a lot of people will jump ship just for that one game. Yeah, a good significant number of people will. Yes, I'm not denying that. But still, the overall number will be less than what it will be if everyone has Call of Duty on their respective platforms. So, just with the words that are used in this blog post, here's what I feel. Microsoft is heavily, heavily pushing their Game Pass service. If you don't know what Game Pass is, it's just a monthly subscription service. You pay a set amount and you get a whole library of games that you can choose to play from. Just download, play, delete, do what you want with it. But yeah, you have to pay a monthly price and that's it. And that monthly price is currently not a lot, to be honest. And Xbox fans really love it. Now, Microsoft's vision to make sure everyone gets to play games, in my head, one day Microsoft would absolutely love if Game Pass was available on PlayStation. If Game Pass was available on Nintendo. If Game Pass was available on any possible device where you can just maybe connect a controller and start playing games, or just play on the touchscreen, whether it's an iPad or any other device, I think that is what Microsoft is looking at. And if I think of it from that perspective, I know Phil Spencer, who's the head of Xbox, doesn't like being compared to the Netflix of games, being called the Netflix of games, because many people have called Game Pass the Netflix of games. I know he doesn't like it, but it's just like that. From an outside perspective, it's just like that. All of a sudden, Netflix is on any device imaginable. It's on your smart TV, it's on your smartphone, it's on your laptop, it's on your desktop, it's on each and every device that you can think of, apart from your toaster, I believe. But yeah, if there was a screen on your toaster, probably Netflix would be there too. I just feel that Microsoft is maybe going for a similar approach. They are probably trying to make sure that Game Pass is available wherever possible. And if that is the vision, I don't feel there will be a next generation of Xbox consoles, because what's the need of a dedicated Xbox console anymore? It's just not required. I just pick up whatever device I can, subscribe to Game Pass, so I become an active paying subscriber that Microsoft makes money out of, and that's it. I am in the Xbox world through Game Pass as a consumer, and Microsoft as a company has me as one of their users who's enjoying the service, enjoying Game Pass. There are so many people who would absolutely love that. Personally, I would love that. I do not have an Xbox. I just have a PlayStation 5. So if Xbox decides to have Game Pass, or should I say, if PlayStation or Sony decides to have Game Pass on PlayStation, I would love that. It's just a small fee that I pay every month, and I get access to Xbox Game Pass's whole entire library. So yeah, that's pretty much it. That is the reason why I believe Microsoft might just not have a next generation of consoles. They are going full on into the subscription-based service of Game Pass, and if that is their future, if that is their vision, which from the looks of it seems to be so, then yeah, there probably won't be another dedicated Xbox console. We might not have an Xbox Series, I don't know what's after S or X. There probably won't be the next generation of consoles, like I said. It's just feasible. It's just my calculated and educated guess on the matter based on that one blog post that I read. And there are things that have led up to that, obviously, with the vision that they claim to have for Xbox. It just feels that this is what Microsoft is heading towards. Again, I may be wrong. I could be proved entirely wrong. It's possible the day you're listening to this, just the day after that, Microsoft says, hey guys, this is our new console now, dedicated to Xbox, and it will only have Xbox exclusives. I don't know. That could happen. I am not denying that. But this is just, like I said, an educated guess that I'm taking here. I just feel that Microsoft is heading towards the subscription service, and hence there potentially might not be the next generation of Xbox consoles. So yeah, that's pretty much it for this episode, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining in, and I loved discussing this. I loved the Console Economics 101 lesson that I gave you. Again, guys, feel free to contact me if you have any other opinions, if you have anything else you want to discuss. I'm available on Instagram or Twitter primarily. So yeah, just hit me up. Let's have a chat, have a discussion. I'm always open for that. Again, we are just into episode 3 and things are only going to get better. But if you have anything, any suggestions about the quality in this episode in terms of the audio, or any echo, I hope you don't hear any echo. But yeah, if you do, again, I apologize. The idea is to keep getting better. Thank you again so much for your time, ladies and gentlemen. This is Polash Das, yet again with another episode of the PLNX Games Podcast. See you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.